Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
Tommy Compost Dice Raw shit, you know? For my niggas, though.
You underestimated greatly. Most number ones ever, how long did it really take me? The part I love most is they need me more than they hate me, so they never take shots. I got everybody on safety. I can load every gun with bullets that fire backwards. You probably wouldn't lose a single rapper. Niggas make threats, can't hear them over the laughter. Yeah. That's cause I'm headed to the bank, nigga. Sinatra lifestyle, I'm just being frank with ya. I mean, where you think she at when she ain't with ya? Wildin', doing shit that's way out of your budget. Owl sweaters inside her luggage, you gotta love it. Damn, this shit could go on a tape. Bitches loving my drive, I never give it a break. Get these niggas the look, the verse and even the hook. That's why every song sound like Drake featuring Drake. Straight, white pre, why is it always me? Got us watching our words like it's wiretaps on the team. Cause I show love, never get the same out of niggas. Guess it's funny how money can make change out of niggas for real. Some nobody started feeling themselves. A couple somebody started killing themselves. A couple albums dropped, those are still on the shelf. I bet them shits would've popped if I was willing to help. I got a gold trophy from the committee for validation. Bad press during the summer over allegations. I ain't lying, my nigga, my time is money. That's why I ain't got the time for a nigga whose time is coming. A lot of niggas PR stunting like that's the movement. And I'm the only nigga still known for the music, I swear. Fuck them niggas this year. I made Forbes list, nigga. Fuck your list, everything's looking gorgeous. Without me, rap is just a bunch of orphans. But if I stayed in the shit, it's a bunch of corpses. And me and my dread nigga from New Orleans, stashing money like hoarders off multi-platinum recordings. Eating like I'm seated at Swiss Soto with Yosos. Nothing was the same, this shit for easy and cold.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Beer and Chicken Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Mr. Span. This is episode number 51 of the show. And right now we're rocking out to some Drake off of that care package. 5 a.m. in Toronto, man. Rock out with your boy.
Happen to Poppy, might pop a nigga for real. Coming live from the screw face, living out a suitcase. But I'm feeling good, Johnny got me pushing two plates. My weight up, I refused to wait up, I started a new race. It's funny when you think a nigga blew up after Lupe. Niggas treat me like I've been here for 10. Some niggas been here for a couple, never been here again. I'm on my King James shit, I'm trying to win here again. A young nigga trying to win here again, man, what's up?
Hey, yeah, a young nigga trying to win.
Yes, indeed, y'all. This is episode number 51, and I'm joined here by the co-host, the homie, DJ Neff2, a.k.a. Cliff. Say what's up to the people, fam.
What is going?
Say what?
I said, what's going down, man?
Ain't shit, man. Your shit froze up for a hot second. I didn't know what the hell was happening. He was like, what is going? And then nothing. And then nothing, my nigga. But, yo, it's... We doing this shit here on this Saturday, on this Sunday evening, man. And we yes, both reside in Michigan, just on two sides of the whole fucking state. So check this out. This nigga's in, where you at? New Buffalo? Population,
New Buffalo.
Population 5 in Michigan?
7.
Nah, I looked it up. It's like 18. It's like 1,800 motherfuckers, man. But we were talking about, as we were trying to coordinate the time to get the show going. I'm trying to tell this nigga... He is on Eastern time. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, man, we still on Central. Like, no, nigga, once you get past Illinois, you hit that Illinois-Indiana border, you hitting Eastern time, my nigga. And I'm like, yo. He's like, nah, man, I'm on Chicago time. Like, no, nigga, no.
Listen, I agree with you that when it comes down to
that's why we
Indiana border, that you will go to Eastern time. But I'm telling you, no clock in this house, and my phone didn't switch. Just saying. I agree with you. I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying, according to Verizon and everybody else over here,
okay,
it's still
I'm going to just tell you this. I'm going to just say this one more. I'm going to just say this one last time.
Okay, you about to say something ignorant.
My shit,
but go ahead.
I'm always right sometime, my nigga. That's just what I'm saying.
You hit me with the 60% of the time, all the time.
60% of the time, all the time, nigga. I'm right. Y'all gonna learn to listen to me one day, man. Your nigga spam me know what the fuck you be talking about sometime. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. But yo, man, like I said, it's episode number 51.
51.
And we're not gonna have a show next week because your man Span gonna be on vacation. Your man,
like I am right now. Like I am right now. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean,
excuses. Go ahead though. Go ahead though.
I mean, what I'm gonna be doing ain't gonna be conducive to podcasting. That's all I'm saying.
I stopped for us. You know what I'm saying? Because I do this for the people. I do this for the listeners, for the viewers. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
That's all I'm saying.
I don't know if Mrs. Span gonna let that shit ride, man. I'm being 100% real. Not only that, understand how this shit is set up though. Like, this is the hub right here. Like, this office right here is the fucking hub. Nothing moves without this hub. I can't take the hub with me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
we can have a plan B.
We can have a plan B.
Plan B, bro.
I'm gonna try to figure out a way where I can get me like a portable like podcasting studio. Man, they make those motherfuckers too, and I'm gonna get one. I'm gonna hook up with the homeboy Chris from Movie Trailer Reviews. I know he know what's up with those, so I'm gonna hook up with him and see how to get with those mobile podcasting studios and shit. They probably didn't cost a whole lot, but still probably need to get.
You got it. You got it. You just bought some old Jordans the other week, so you got it.
See why you got.
But go ahead.
Why you got to bring up old shit, man?
It's not old. Did you get your shoes yet?
Yeah, I got my shoes.
No. Oh, you got them? So you just got them because you just bought them, right?
I got some shoes Saturday. Yeah, I did. So
you got a ladder. You got a ladder because you got to put them at the top of all the shoes, right?
I'm looking at them right now.
Yeah, nice. One of what? 63? What is it? 64?
Not even. I don't even have 60 pairs of shoes, my nigga. I don't even have 40 pairs of shoes. That's why it's always funny when you be talking about how many pairs of shoes I have.
There we go.
Say what?
But you got 30.
Oh, I got 30.
Yeah, exactly.
I got 30. I mean, but, you know, shit, nigga, sometimes you got to treat yourself. I work hard,
one
nigga.
Day.
My shoulders hurt right now. I got tendonitis in both of these motherfucking elbows, man, from wrenching down on shit, man. I work hard, dude. And it look like it, don't it? Don't it look like it?
I don't know. I can't tell.
I work hard, my nigga. Don't hate. Don't be like that, man. Don't be a hater all your life, bro.
Still look like TSU days to me. You know, ain't nothing changed.
Don't be a hater all your. I done packed on about a good 60 pounds since TSU, nigga. Don't even try.
60 pounds?
At least.
60 pounds?
At least.
Oh, my God.
Nigga, at Tennessee State, I was like 100. I might have been like 170 pounds, dog.
So you 230?
No, I'm not that heavy.
Oh, okay.
So I actually might have been a little bit lighter at Tennessee State, maybe closer to like 150 to 160, something like that, because I'm at 213 right now.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
You might need to go on a diet then, bro.
I do need to go on a diet. The doctor was like, yo, man, so like the last 4 years, you done packed on 10 pounds every year you come back here for your physical. like, you might need to cut back on the Popeyes, that's all I'm saying. I'm like, Dr.
Well, I ain't going to say that, but yeah, go ahead, man. Yeah, so. Man. What's good, man? Let's get it. I know you got a lot you want to talk about. Of now, course, some of this stuff is halfway directed towards me, but it's all good.
You know what? I'm going to let that shit go. I'm going to let that shit slide. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, everybody ain't got to be privy to the business. You know what I'm saying? Outside of this nigga, like, causes to be all like an eternity late, goddammit. Like, this nigga was on super duper CP time tonight, nigga. That's all I'm saying.
Really? Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. You can have this one. You can have it. It's okay.
I'm going to blame it on this 6,000 square foot mansion this nigga is staying in where he having a hard time finding a room to record in. That's all I'm going to say.
That's...
You was having a hard time.
Go ahead.
This nigga was out on the porch in the dark talking about some, yo, is this good?
No. It's an enclosed porch in this big in the mug.
Not the enclosed porch.
Bro, that's not even, like, relevant at all. Mm-hmm. At all. Whatever, man.
Yeah, so.
Oh, boy.
What brings you to Michigan, man? What you doing over there? Just vacation?
Didn't want to try. And wanted to be close to a little body of water, you know, looked on a young Airbnb, man, and found this spot. And it's fantastic, man. You know, so that's it.
Shout out to Airbnb, man. A whole lot of folks be kind of shitting on Airbnb, and rightfully so. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it'd be some shenanigans going on. Like, sometimes you
got... How?
I'm not saying you've experienced the shit. I'm just saying sometimes you hear a story about, like, there was a Chinese lady that had rented her room out to some black people, and she was talking about them being like monkeys and shit, like that sort of thing going on. You've had Airbnbs where motherfuckers in head, they found like cameras in the alarm clock next to the bed and shit, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, look at me.
Yeah, I know, right? But I know usually when say for instance, when we would go to New Orleans and shit, that's pretty much what we do. We do the VRBO shit in New Orleans and be right in the thick of shit, man, right in the middle of it. So, I mean, it works out either way. I mean, some people love it, some people don't. It's just what you're willing to tolerate and what you're willing to, how you're willing to move, you know?
But I've never experienced a bad Airbnb and,
me, man. Not yet anyway. Knock on fucking wood someplace. I ain't got no
this wall. Somewhere.
Yeah, man. But we got a lot of topics to kind of get into. And let me pull up my pocket here, because I found some shit. At first, I was like, man, what the fuck are we going to talk about tonight? Then I saw some shit like, hold on, we got a bunch of shit to talk about.
You know what? Because of my... I need to start, because you're going to... the segue would be awesome for what I know you're going to talk about.
Okay, go ahead. Do your thing, man. What are we talking about? What you got?
All right. So I found an article on a website called stadiumtalk.com. Actually, they have some really good topics and links on there. Uh-huh. This one is labeled Worst Contracts in NBA History.
You weren't ready for that one, was you?
I wasn't ready. That was great timing.
Yep.
So I'm just going to read, I'm only going to look at a few of these, but I'm going to talk about two in particular once we get there. It says, we live in an era of transaction. In the NBA, every offseason becomes more anticipated than the last one as teams seek to make statements with high-profile moves, right? Mm-hmm. When teams miss out on their top targets or get desperate and reclining stars to stay relevant, beware, right? Since the NBA free agency began in 1988, plenty of organizations have paid the price for overpaying for players. Mm-hmm. These contracts are most... I ain't going to read that sentence. So listen, the first one, which they have 60 different players. The 60th player was Jermaine O'Neal, and his contract was in 2003. 7 years for $127 million. Jermaine O'Neal was my guy. I'm never throwing no salt at Jermaine.
There was a stretch where Jermaine O'Neal was nice. There was a stretch where he was pretty good guy.
He was, and at that time, I think he was more than well deserving for that. That really isn't my main one. Let me just click. I'm going to pull this up on my laptop because it's a little easier. All right. So, Jermaine O'Neal. After Jermaine. Golly, man. Let's see. Jermaine. After Jermaine, they got Eddie Robinson. He's not even relevant.
Man, I remember he used to play for the Bulls.
He did. And actually, that's the contract that they speak. John Paxson gave him they bought Paxson? Him out for $10 million after they figured out he was a straight flop.
I thought, what's the name signed him? Jerry Krause signed Eddie Robinson. This was like right after like they dismantled the team.
Yeah, well, it said that Paxson was the one who finished it off. Let me see if I can't just go straight. Here's another one. Number 56, Carmelo Anthony. Check this out. Mm. Don't you love this? And this is why I was saying that this is a great segue for you. I'm going to talk about two players. And one of them is Carmelo, but I'm going to leave him for last. Mike Conley got $150 million. Remember that last year? Mm-hmm. He got $150 million. I know we've talked about contracts constantly. Of course, this is episode 51 on the Beer and Chicken. And I am always an advocate of you have to earn the $100 million bracket. Uh-huh. I don't care what sport it is. Basketball is the second highest paying sport in the United States. third in the world. To get 100 million in basketball, you don't need a ring. All right. Mike Conley. For those that can't see me but can hear me, or whoever's going to download this, my facial expression right now is like, don't think so. Good
year,
player.
What year did he get that contract?
Let's see. I purposely already had him in my my scope. Michael Conley got this contract. Let's see. He got his contract in 2016. Yep. And because of that contract, he was number, he actually made the top, at the time, richest contract in NBA history at that time. Mm-hmm. And then he got a contract. He did Nike. He got a contract with Nike's Jordan brand the same year. He got paid. He got paid. But once again, we're talking about people who are getting extreme contracts. I'm just going to give you somebody who plays the same position. Steph Curry got $200 million. Steph Curry also got a few NBA titles. Okay. So Carmelo Anthony. Okay. I know Carmelo has been a part of a few of our conversations in the past. I don't knock Carmelo for a couple reasons. Carmelo was always a threat in the NBA. I think his decision for choosing certain teams is where he lacked. In 2013, he got a five-year contract for $124 million. Once again, how the hell did Michael Conley get a better contract than Carmelo? I don't know, because I think Carmelo is a better player. But was it worth it? Did they actually get what they paid for?
Who?
The Knicks. They gave him $124 million. Did they get $124 million worth out of Carmelo?
No. But there's a lot that goes into it, and I think that it's not always just what happens on the floor when it comes to what they decide they're going to pay guys and whatever else. So like a player like Mike Conley, like when I asked you you know, what year it was that he got that contract, he was coming off of a season where he averaged 20 points a game, 6 assists a game. He was shooting 85% from the free throw line, 40% from three, and 54% from the field. All right. So he was actually a pretty goddamn good point guard, one of the top tier point guards in the league when he finally got paid. He played well in the contract year. He got paid. I also think the fact that he was playing for the Memphis Grizzlies played a large part in why he got so much money, because Memphis was trying to keep one of their better players. Yo, man, we got to try to keep this motherfucker around. And because they are one of those, remember we were talking about those mid-market teams, they don't really attract a whole lot of stars coming their way. So if you got a star on your squad, you want to try to keep the guys that you got, you might overpay to keep that dude, you know, keep that dude around. And I think that's why Mike Conley got the numbers that he got. Now, as far as Carmelo Anthony is concerned, I remember when Carmelo was shopping himself around. Like, he went around, there was talk about him maybe going to Washington. There was talk about him going to, he even visited with Chicago at one point, and then he ended up going to New York because he's like, yo, I always wanted to play in New York. New York is home, this, that, and the other. And this was around the time I also think that they would, like, New York had money to throw around. So remember, they also, they spent money on Amari Stoudemire as well. Then they also traded for, like, they had Chauncey Billups on that team at one point. Like, they tried to throw money at guys and get them to come to New York. But when it came to Carmelo Anthony, he wanted to be in New York. So, you know, the fact that he was there, he was going to be a star player because New York was star for a star player. It's why they was throwing so much money at Amari Stoudemire. It's why they was throwing so much money at Melo. And not to say that Melo wasn't worth the money, but that's why he got so much. You know what I'm saying? And so to say, like, if you look in on the back end of it, to be like, well, did they get $124 million worth of basketball out of Carmelo Anthony? Nah, probably not, because, you know, The playoffs was something entirely different. Did Carmelo Anthony ever make it out of the first round of the playoffs? I can't think of a time he ever made it out of the first round.
I don't think he made it out of the first round.
Can't ever think of a time when Carmelo Anthony made it out of the first round. So, with Carmelo Anthony to get $124 million from the New York Knicks, I mean, think about it. Like, $100 million contracts now is kind of like the thing. You know, it's not
right.
It's kind of like it's almost commonplace now in much more of a way than it ever was when we were coming up watching guys, you know, play basketball. Where, like, again, I go back to this, like, the first time I heard of an eye popping number to me, it was when I heard Larry Johnson got $80 million to sign with the Charlotte Hornets. I'm like, $80 million, you know what I'm saying? And that was a lot of money. I think that was like 92, 93, sometime around there. So,
yeah.
Yeah, man, like these $100 million contracts, I just think it's kind of commonplace. Because even some of the, you know, we had a little argument about WNBA and NBA players. Like, even the 12th man on a lot of NBA teams is making $2 to $3 million just sitting on the fucking bench not playing for nobody. He's just taking up space, taking cash and $3 million worth of checks. You know what I'm saying? So it's just kind of the nature of the league and where they are financially right now.
Well, no need to try to talk about the whole WNBA versus NBA thing. It's irrelevant at this point. But, God, do we have to revisit the past? So, the number one. So, Gilbert Arenas. They have on here as the number two worst contract of all time. Totally disagree. 6 years, $111 million with Washington. This dude, let's see.
How much of that six-year contract did he actually play after he signed it?
I don't know. Here, let's read what it says. It says, bottom line, Agent Zero burst onto with some dynamic scoring and awe-inspiring dribbling moves. The former second-round pick made all the other teams in the league regret not drafting him until he signed his massive deal to stay in Washington. A slew of injuries and infamous locker room incident led to the less than 100 games played in three seasons, and the Wizards shipped him to Orlando. He was done playing NBA basketball just a year later. Here's the thing. You just said a second ago, sometimes have little to do with what you do on the floor and what happens outside. Gilbert was a sleeper. He was only 6'1", maybe 2 at tops. He was not a tall. He was not a big dude. Mad athletic, can dribble, can shoot the whole nine yards. Huge sleeper. He was killing folk, period. Both sides of the court, let me add. Very worth it, if you ask me. The incident with him and Shaq and how not going to go into everything that happened, but the bottom line is some of these contracts on this website, on this link, I totally disagree with. Gilbert Arenas, to me, had much more NBA career ahead of him. These contracts are guaranteed money, you know, so he took that bread to, you know, straight to the bank. But I still say that, you know, when they start to determine how much somebody is worth, you know, because he was killing folk, this right here is a good example of why. This was a great situation for the Wizards to pay somebody who wasn't anybody. Now, let me say that, who wasn't anybody, who proved themselves. You know, I know, like I just said, I always talk about you gotta earn that money. This dude earned that money. And what happened outside of the game affected his time on the floor. I've always liked Gilbert. You know, he showed up. The number one worst contract of all time. Nobody would ever guess this. Remember when Dallas had that squad? They had, what's my man from Chicago? Dark black, Mike, golly. They had Steve Nash. They had Dirk. They had,
you talking about Michael Finley?
Michael Finley. LaFrenz. Remember him?
Rafe LaFrenz?
Yes! They have him as the number one worst contract ever.
He kind of was a bum, but okay, let's go. He kind of was a bum, bro.
I used to use Dallas on NBA Live, and I used to kill.
And you was whack, so I mean, I mean, let's just. and you was whack. I mean, like
I never played you. I never even played you.
Exactly.
I never played you, so you wouldn't know what I was.
You knew not to.
No. You knew not to. So you this is off the subject. We can talk we did in college another day. Okay? Cuz I'm not even going to go there. That's why you can't drink that nasty ass beer. But Rafe LaFrenz, for everybody that's listening. Matter of fact, who's on this? Anybody in the chat room? Jeremy, DJ, I don't know who y'all is. So listen.
Hey, Jeremy, my guy from New Orleans, man. That's my dude. Chill out.
Yeah. I ain't talking about nobody.
I don't know.
I'm just trying to see anybody I can relate with, but I don't know them, so it's all good.
Rafe LaFrenz was as whack as you was on NBA Live, but go ahead.
All right. But they gave him 7 years, $70 million. All right. Here's the article says. It says he looked like a promising young prospect on Denver Nuggets, knocking down three pointers and pulling in and out 8 rebounds per game. The Mavericks traded him. And we're so impressed with LaFrenz's 27 games and long-term deal. The honeymoon period wore off, and LaFrenz was traded to Boston after one full season. Mm-hmm. The season that they traded him is when, literally, when Sacramento was whooping on Dallas when they was going to go into the Western Conference Finals. That had nothing to do with Rafe, first of all. I thought he was a good player. He could shoot. And I like big guys that can shoot.
Rafe was whack. Detlef Schrempf can shoot.
But all that to say, there are a lot of different examples of bad contracts. They got Rashard Lewis in here as a bad contract. Rashard was nice. I'm sorry.
Six years. See, that's the thing where I think where you kind of like getting it kind of fucked up though, because like yeah, there might have been a point where those dudes was nice, but when they actually got their money and what the return on the contract and in their production was. That's what would probably make that a bad contract or one of the worst contracts. You'd be like, wait a minute. Like, after he got this money, like, we didn't get anywhere near the level of productivity that we would expect from a guy that makes all of this money. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got a lot of guys who, they went out there, they balled out because they was hungry. Then they went out, they got this money. They ain't hungry no more. And their production drops. And so now it's like, yo, so now this is, you know, in terms of, you know, what you got out of this contract, what you got out of this deal for the teams, it was, yo, that was a bad motherfucking deal. For the players, like, oh, nigga, I'm good. My money is guaranteed. And no matter what the fuck I do, my money is guaranteed. I don't work myself up to this. I'm good, man. I don't even need the chip, nigga. My family gonna eat forever. You know what I'm saying?
And guess what? And that's Rashard got a chip. Rashard got a chip too. Don't get it twisted.
I mean, he got a chip, but he wasn't the reason they got that chip. I mean, he was.
That's not the point. Guess what? Sometimes you gotta play. You gotta be a role player.
It's like John Sally on the Bulls, my nigga. Like it's a whole bunch of motherfuckers walking around here with rings that ain't necessarily earned.
I like John Sally. why you doing so? You lucky I ain't got the little button, hate button, because all you doing is hating right now. Oh, heavy. Don't be mad because you ain't had no jump shots, okay?
Real, nigga. That's all I shot in high school was threes and motherfucking dunks, dog. That's all I had. Threes and dunks, nigga, and I locked the other nigga down. That's all I did. Dunks, and locked
that remains to be seen, ever. Ever. It remains to be seen.
This nigga.
There's no proof for that. Let's do it right now.
About,
I can.
Talk about
hate.
You still want to talk about bad contracts, my nigga? Who else got some bad contracts? You want to talk about some more? Because I can talk about a bad contract.
Please.
I can
continue.
Talk about a bad contract. So, check this out, man.
Because I feel like this is all directed towards me. And it's all good. It's all good.
Why would it be directed towards you, nigga? You didn't sign because the bad contract.
Because you know who my man is, and you might have thrown salt.
So hold on. That's weird, bro. That you go. You about to be mad at me talking about
the fact. I'm mad at you.
You talking about I'm throwing salt at you because I'm about to talk about this next motherfucker.
Now you saw that headline and was like, oh, this dude like him.
That is not what I was thinking when I saw this shit. But apparently. Apparently, man, we're gonna switch this up from basketball because we talk a lot of basketball. We're probably gonna talk a little bit more basketball tonight, but we're gonna switch it to the football. Apparently, I'm sorry, not the Denver Broncos, but the New England Patriots decided that they were going to re-up Tom Brady to the tune of $41 million with $23 million guaranteed going into the next season.
Sounds well-deserved to me.
So we're going to read the story here. This comes out of ESPN. It says the New England Patriots and quarterback Tom Brady are finalizing a contract extension. A league source told ESPN's Ford Yates. The two-year extension keeps Brady under contract through the 2021 season and will pay him $23 million this year, a source told ESPN's Adam Schefter. That $8 million increase for 2019 will make Brady the sixth highest-paid QB in the league, a source told Schefter, tying him with Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints. The Patriots, in turn, will get an additional $5.5 million in salary cap space this year, a source told Schefter. The deal will be adjusted each year Brady continues playing, according to Schefter. Brady would have become an unrestricted free agent after the 2019 season. He had been set to make $15 million this year. News of the extension comes a day after Brady celebrated his 42nd birthday. So, although you are looking at this as hate, I have a question about this. It's not necessarily hate. It's more so a question. Is this a thank you for all you've done contract? Or is this the going rate for a 20-year vet, 42 years of age in the NFL? Because it seems to me like this is more so like a thank you for everything you've been able to do for us since you've been the quarterback of this team. And why is that a ridiculous thing? Why is that ridiculous to say that they gave him some thank you money? Like, how is that ridiculous, nigga? I mean, Michael Jordan signed for $33 million his last year with the Bulls. It was thank you money. They're like, yo, nigga, we owed you a lot of money. We know we was underpaying you, but he got his bread to kind of make up for the fact that we wasn't paying you what we was supposed to. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he don't deserve it. Why are you getting you in your feelings right now, and I don't understand why.
My feelings.
Nigga, it's written all over your face. What you got to say, man? Like, how you feel about, I mean, I know you think that Tom Brady's worth it, but the question stands is, do you think this is more so like, do you think he's worth $23 million for his play coming up this season? Or do you think this is something like a thank you for what he's been able to produce for them over the course of his career?
Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback in history.
Joe Montana.
Numbers is the only thing that counts. Okay.
Joe Montana.
Chips. Potato chips. Joe, okay. Joe, he need another potato chip. Joe Montana. But all I'm saying once again, I always speak on if somebody is well deserving of whatever money is that somebody's will. Tom Brady is probably well deserving of more money than that. Okay. And if it was me, this is not a conversation to be had. The dude is Hall of Fame legend, still playing, mess around and win another one. I don't know, but I mean, there's no question.
The question,
there's no question.
It is a question because
let me answer your question.
Okay.
This is not thank you for giving us another championship money. That's not what this is.
No.
Giving him another $8 million to be like, thank you for the chip. No, that's not thank you money.
Okay.
That's not thank you money. No. Okay. His wife can give him that. Okay, that ain't thank you money.
Okay.
To me. Mm-hmm. To me. All right. So when it comes to Tom Brady, they're just incentivizing his stay with the Patriots. That's less.
Yeah. As great of a QB as Tom Brady is, at 42 years old, in his 19th season in the NFL, $23 million is thank you money for what you've been able to do for us over the course of the last few years, man. Like, and there's no shame in that. That's what I think you kind of you're getting that kind of mixed up. There's no shame in the fact that the team was like appreciative of the fact that this dude has led us to 6 fucking Super Bowl championships. And if we want to reward him with this additional money, we were going to give him $15 million. Thank you for what you've done for us, nigga. Here go another $8 million. There's no shame in that. Like, but you're looking at this as though, like, I'm saying he's not worth it. I'm saying, like, yo, even if you don't, I'm saying at 42 years old, most quarterbacks in the league ain't about to see $23 million in one season. They're just not. And the reason why they're not going to see it is because they haven't produced at the level that Tom Brady has over the course of his career. But at the same time, if you were going to go, 42-year-old quarterback, 19 years in the league, just based on that, you're not going to give that guy $23 million just because he's a 19-year vet at 42 years of age.
This How many quarterbacks have played 19 years? First of all, let's start there.
It's been a few. It's been a few.
Winning quarterbacks, third string. Winning quarterbacks played 19 years.
Don't give me
Montana that. Didn't even play 19 years, and he's your number one.
I'm saying this, man. I'm saying the point that I'm making is this: is that there's nothing wrong with giving a guy thank you money.
Sure.
Although you would like to take this as a slight to Tom Brady, there's nothing.
That's what it sounds like.
There's nothing wrong with thank you money. I'm just saying that, like, yo, I kind of feel like, yo, to give a guy $23 million on one season. He's 42 years old, 19th year in the league. Like, you just kind of look at it like, nah, it's not based on what they think he's going to do this season. I think a lot of this money is based upon – I don't think most of that money is based on what they think he's going to do this year. I think that –
What did
thinking,
he do last year? What has he done every year?
It ain't just him, dog. It ain't just him. Nigga, did you watch that Super Bowl? It wasn't the most exciting motherfucking Super Bowl. And he got put on his ass quite a bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's
the offensive line fault.
It's everybody's fault but Tom Brady. Man, get the fuck out of here. Anyway, anyway, all I'm saying is there's nothing wrong with them giving him the thank you money. That's all I'm saying. But to, like, it's not something okay. That going forward you'd be like, yo, yeah, this 20, we gonna get this 42-year-old quarterback $23 million going into his 19th season. Like, you don't really, it's not as though they're paying him based on what they think he's going to produce for them this year. They're paying him based upon thanking him for what he's been able to give them so far. And there's nothing wrong with that, because either way, I'm like, yo, if they're going to give me $23 million, give me the $23 million. I ain't mad at him for taking it. But it's just the whole thing, like, it's weird. It's weird, like, watching your reaction to this, because you're like, man, this seems shady, man. I don't know. Like,
no, because I know you. And the thing is, you know, when I won the Super Bowl, you know, y'all was like, you know, you going, but y'all was mad.
Wait. Nigga, did you just say that when I won the Super Bowl?
Nigga,
you wasn't there. You ain't on that team.
Okay. I'm okay. Put it however you want to put it.
And I okay? still hold on. I just thought about it, and I still never got my case of beer from when what's the name? Philly beat them the year before.
Okay. What did I win for the Super Bowl? We bet.
Yeah, we did bet.
It's a wash.
But a cliff never pays his debts. You know what I'm saying?
Well, look like nobody paying debts.
A cliff never pays his debts, so I never got my brew. You ain't gonna get yours until I get mine. God damn it! That's what it is. You ain't gonna get yours until I get mine. God damn it!
Oh,
what are you a case for? The Super Bowl, motherfucker. But That's one of the stories I kind of want to talk about, man. Tom Brady getting that $23 million, man, at 42 years old. Man, that's fucking amazing, even though I'm not a fucking Patriots fan by any stretch of the imagination.
Go Patriots, baby.
Another thing that I kind of wanted to talk about, man, that was in the news earlier this week, was the fact that Marshawn Lynch, man, he got into it with a football mom at his camp. And I believe – hold on a second. There's video.
Didn't say that, baby.
Let me pull this up so I can share this with you so you can watch this, because I know you said you hadn't seen this, right?
I ain't heard of it.
You hadn't even heard of it. Okay, so let me pull this up. And let's watch this shit together. Excuse me. All right, check this out.
Let them know, because they're all in tears.
Is there a man here with you?
No.
Okay, off top, he's already asked her. He said something like, is there a man here with you? Right? So she's really all up in his face. And the reason why she's up in his face right now is she's upset that he was cursing at the kids that were doing drills. So she's upset with the language that was being said, that was being spoke while they were doing the drills at this camp.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I do. I cuss a lot. I cuss in front of
them. So look, I cuss a lot. Every one of them.
All right, that's okay.
He's not looking. No, my son's in jail. So look, it's not okay. Look,
is there a man here with you?
Not here.
Is not a man here with you?
What does that matter?
Because
my son is leaving. I don't care. It's my son.
Okay, so the thing about it is, oh shit. When this thing just spoke to me about my name, I went up to him. Shit. I told nobody to get the fuck out of the drill.
Get over here.
I
right told,
now. Look, look. I'll tell them that if they're not doing what they need to do, then yes, there's consequences to that.
Yeah, yeah.
You said nigga. You say nigga every day.
Why?
If I told the little ones to go around, I'm gonna have a conversation with this little one besides in the drill. But at the end of the day, if there's a kid that's on my field while we're in drills, participate in the right way, there is consequences for me. If it takes the measurement, if I tell them to go and run laps, come over here and record me so they can actually see my
face. They can see you fine here.
I know, come on. So if it takes that amount of time for when I tell a kid to do something and they're not doing what they're supposed to do, then there is consequences, like push-ups, like running laps,
like telling them to get sit-ups, the fuck away from your
like telling them to get out of my drill if they're not participating.
Get the fuck
and
out
doing right.
Drill.
Get the fuck out of my drill. Get the fuck out of my drill. Or whatever it takes to get my drill. Because there's one kid, but there's also
50 others.
100 more kids out there. But at the same time, there's no disrespect or anything, but there's a million kids. But I didn't want you to get away to go and throw dirt on my name.
No.
But I understand that I'm not going to be able to please everybody, which I'm fine with that.
I appreciate you coming up here and talking to me.
Oh, shit.
My son is one of those hard workers.
Look,
one of those.
So I still came up here to do this, but I still got 200 more kids out there. But I appreciate it, though, sweetheart.
All right, so what did you think about that particular exchange between Marshawn Lynch and those parents?
Well, first of all, my experience with my culture, they cussed me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. If the mom feels a certain way about how he's talking to the kids, unfortunately, whatever camp she wants to send her son to, they're going to get cursed at. I'm not saying this is just the way it is in sports. They curse at the kids, not to be disrespectful or whatever, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Marshawn, I give him a lot of props for even coming up there and even making a statement to tell people where he is and why he's doing what he's doing. He does not have to do that. You know, it's other dudes there that worked probably for him that could have been like, this is what the deal is. And he went up there and spoke to her personally. So love there that I give him and a lot of respect for that. But other than that, I don't see the problem. You know, if she don't want her kid getting talked to like that, then they should go play chess.
Okay. So a couple things. Cause of like a lot of the heat that he was particularly like a lot of the heat that I saw he was getting for this particular exchange was the fact that he asked both of these women, whether or not they were
if men, they had a man.
If there were men there with them. And one of the women said, like, what difference does it make? You know, that's my son that's out there or whatnot. And mm-hmm. I think what he was really trying to get at with this particular exchange was the fact that, like, there are certain things that happen within manhood or within boyhood or within maledom period where we relate to each other in a certain way that you may not necessarily understand right now. And even as a football player, is playing this game, it's a tough game. It's a physical game. It takes a lot of mental, not only a lot of mental discipline, but a lot of physical discipline. And sometimes in order to get a kid's attention, your coaches will curse at you. Like it's part of the thing. Like even as a basketball player, my coaches cursed at me. That's just kind of what happened. And so, you know, it becomes a thing where you don't necessarily want the parents. I mean, you know, you got a lot of helicopter parents when it comes to like their kids and they don't want anybody talking to their kids. And I get it. You don't want your kids speaking a certain way or being spoke to a certain way. And you have every right in the world to take your kid out of that program if you believe that, you know, it's not necessarily right for you and how you want to raise your kid and everything else. But you got to find a program where they're going to treat your kid exactly the way you want your kid treated. And the reason you went to the Marshawn Lynch camp was because you know Marshawn Lynch is beast mode, NFL Super Bowl champion, and you thought that going to this camp would be a good idea for your kid to be tutored by someone who's won an NFL championship, who's a running back. Like, he's got a really big reputation as far as, like, how well he plays the game. I think it also says a lot about the fact that, and you're not on the screen right now, Cliff, but
I'm not on the screen.
No, you're not on the screen right now. Like, it's like got a, like a sunset picture of you and shit. I don't, but you're not on the screen right now. I can hear you. But
I don't know what to do. I see you.
Well, just refresh the screen or whatever. But, okay. Yeah, but the thing is, like, there's this thing where when it comes to parents, we want to protect our kids from a certain level of treatment. But at the same time, you also want to let your kids.
Hello?
Yeah, I can see you now. You're back on screen. But you kind of want you want your kids to be pushed forward. And sometimes it's going to happen in a way that you might it might make you feel uncomfortable because it's something that you wouldn't necessarily do. But you're also not an NFL level player. Or anything. Like, you never went through the trials and the tribulations and the practices and the coaching to get to that level, and you want your kids to get to that level. I don't want to make excuses for the language, right? Because sure. I curse a lot. You know what I'm saying? I curse all the time. I'm cursed when I'm not even conscious of the fact that I'm cursing. Like, like, real talk, like, in my family, shit is a free word. You know what I'm saying? Like, we say that around each other all the time, because my grandmother says shit all the time. It's nothing in my family, right? But other people aren't necessarily, you know, that's not how they roll, that's not how they came up or any of that. But it's just that thing of he got a lot of flack because he asked whether or not there was a man around, or was there a man with them. And I really believe that it's not that he was trying to be sexist. It's just that he felt like if there was a man around, they would better understand the culture of how the game goes and how the game is coached and how these kids will be related to. And
right. I think
that's really what he was trying to get to.
Right. I agree. I totally agree. I mean, Marshawn is definitely, hey, sorry, I had to get my charger, man. Marshawn is the best running back in the league. Even right now, I'm taking him over everybody. But when you take your kid to some of these camps, you should have expectations that were set even before you walk in the door. And if you thought that you were going to take your kid to a program where they were going to read the Bible and, like, do, you know, no, it's not happening.
But, you know, what's even more funny, though, like, even if you went to a church, like, you play for a church league, chances are some of those coaches in the church league going to be cursing at their players. Some of the worst coaches, some of the most foul mouthed coaches are at your Catholic league team. He at your Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, you know, basketball league, you know what I'm saying? Like, some of the most foul mouthed coaches are in the church. But I'm just saying, like, the whole thing is like, it's I want to say it's a part of coaching. I don't necessarily want to say it's right that we do it or that it's done. But if you understand the culture, it doesn't shock you as much when it happens. And you're not like, yo, oh my God, Timmy heard the word fuck. What are we going to do? You know, and that's kind of what it came across as. Like, she like, yeah, but you told him to get the fuck out of your drill. Like, yeah, get the fuck out of my drill. Like, like, you're not doing this right. I need you to pay attention. And sometimes, unfortunately, speaking forcefully to a child or speaking forcefully to anybody, not even just children, but speaking forcefully to anyone to get their attention on how important this particular part of your training or this drill is, sometimes you'll have some colorful language come across a whole lot of people's lips.
Yeah. Well, I think what makes this situation a little bit smoother is the fact that Marshawn took it on head on. To me, that speaks volumes, because most times superstars won't even take the time out to talk to anybody, to tell you the truth.
Well, I think Marshawn, because not only, like, he's had the reputation of being charitable and being accessible to the hood and everything else, but at the same time, I think he's also conscious of the fact that, like, yo, some people will take a situation and blow it up bigger than it really had to be. And so I think he really felt it was important for him to go up there and address that himself. To say, like, yo, he made mention of you, like, yo, I don't need you going out here dirtying up my name because I had this interaction with your kid. You know what I'm saying? So so I would much rather come to you and talk to you about why I do what I do and how it comes about and how this comes about, as opposed to you walking away saying, well, Marshawn Lynch was verbally abusive to my child and I would never send my child to this camp and you should never send your child either. And now it's a whole thing. And it, I mean, it's a thing. Right. It's a thing now because it was on TMZ Sports and everything else. It's a thing now. But I think he was conscious of the fact that because everybody has a cell phone now and everybody's recording every interaction. I mean, he even told her, like, hey, if you're going to record me, come closer so you can hear what the fuck I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? She's like, no, I'm fine over here, you know? And he walked up closer. He walked up closer and put his face in the camera. Like, he was out of breath and all that shit. Like, yo, so... So when I say get the fuck out of my drill, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was just like, I think he was more, he was protective over the fact that, like, his reputation could have been besmirched or been on the line.
Right.
Had this been kind of put out any other kind of way.
Yeah.
So.
I agree.
Yeah, man. We did talk about Carmelo Anthony earlier today.
Briefly.
We talked about him a little bit. We're going to talk about his ass again, man. Because apparently, man, like, folks is out here talking about Carmelo Anthony need to be he needs a farewell tour, bro.
Oh God, he needs a Tom Brady.
Not even a Tom Brady. People are talking about, you know, Carmelo as in he needs a Dwayne Wade / Dirk Nowitzki type farewell tour so the fans can show their appreciation of the player that Carmelo Anthony was. And so I guess the question that I present to you and the question that I present to the fans of the show, because that's going to be the poll tonight on this particular episode, is whether or not you believe that Carmelo Anthony should get a goddamn farewell tour. But I'm going to ask you first how you feel about it.
Oh, God. Okay. I'm going to start off saying that, A, I like Carmelo. Okay?
Me too.
I like – oh, he was an NBA player that didn't get into trouble. He wasn't in no ridiculous situations that had him out there publicly. Family man, to whatever degree that is. He played the game hard. I can't think of anything bad to say about Carmelo as a person and as a player. Not like I know him personally, but farewell tour. Does he deserve it? Perennial All-Star. Can't even... Off the top of my head, I can't say if Carmelo ever even went to the big game. But all that to say, does he deserve it? Yes. I'm going to say yes, only because... Oh, God. Only because he's very popular, very liked. He was... a good player. I mean, it's just everybody has their own personal reasons. Does he deserve it? Yeah. I say give it to him. Why not? Even though he doesn't have a ring, I think it would have been a good thing to see a great player to say, okay, I'm done. There's not too many Carmelos out there, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. That year he got drafted, we all know who came out with him. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I think that he should have something. Mm. What? I don't know. You know. But yeah, I'm just going to say yes.
Okay, I'm gonna say no on this one.
Of course,
I'm gonna say no on this one. No chip, no motherfucking tour, man. Like, that's just how I feel about it. Truth be told, like, the whole, like, farewell tour shit, like, most of the players that we think about when we see farewell tours, I remember Larry Bird, maybe, I think he got one, Magic Johnson got one, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar got one when he retired in 89, Jordan got one, and most recently, Dirk Nowitzki and Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
And out of all of those dudes that I just named, every last one of them got a championship ring on their resume. Every last one of them have been in the big game. We talked about this earlier in the show that we couldn't even remember if Carmelo Anthony had ever even been out of the first fucking round of the playoffs. He might have, but like Tracy McGrady, I don't think he's ever been out of the first round of the playoffs. Now, Tracy McGrady is a Hall of Famer. But I don't think Tracy McGrady got a goddamn farewell tour on his way out the game. And to a large extent, I think some of the down, like the way that Carmelo Anthony's career has played out, especially the later part of his career, a lot of it has been his fault as to why he's not currently on the team. His attitude about his role on, you know, whatever team he was going to be on, like actually laughing at the idea of coming off of the bench, like, nigga, you are not that guy anymore. And I think he could have been, I think there would have been a lot more teams willing to take a Carmelo Anthony on if Carmelo Anthony saw himself as the, not so much, if Carmelo Anthony faced reality and didn't necessarily see himself as the still, like, the superstar that you could build a team around, and more so like, yo, I'm the wily vet that we can, you know, you could add me to a team and I can bring some experience, I can bring some scoring, I can bring some attitude, and you know, I can help be a part of a mix as opposed to being the mix that you put everybody else around. And so the reason why I feel like Carmelo Anthony isn't on anybody's team right now is like everybody saw how he kind of looked. He laughed at the idea of coming off the bench and was like, oh, he don't get it. He don't get it. And I think that's played a large role in why the guy is not in the league right now. So as far as him getting a farewell tour, it was like, nah, man, like I don't see a farewell tour. I mean, yeah, you were a prolific scorer. There's a lot of prolific scorers that have come through the league. Gilbert Arenas was a prolific scorer. Does he get a farewell tour? Like, hey, man, y'all need to sign me so I get a farewell tour. Like, no, you don't. He hasn't. I don't think he's earned it. I mean, yeah, he won 3 gold medals for the national team. Okay, do you get a farewell tour because you got gold medals? No, I don't think so. And so for that reason, man, like I'm not like, nah. As good as a player that Carmelo Anthony was, I think his NBA resume is a bit lacking when it comes to the whole farewell tour shit. I just kind of feel like that.
That's a good point. For once, I can agree with some shit you said, and that's a little deeper than what I went into with Carmelo, so I can go with that.
Man, look at God, look at him. When he do it, I tell you one thing, man. This beer is running through me, so I gotta take a little break. I'm gonna give y'all some music. if this shit would ever load the fuck up, what's up?
Can I request some? You got the new crit? I know you got the new crit.
I got crit, but I'm going to be honest with you, man. I haven't really been feeling this new crit. I'm just going to say that to you.
I just got one song, if you have it.
What you need? I got it. What you need? Which song?
And the, hold on. I'm about to give it to you right now. Ride With Me. Play Ride With Me. All right, I know you got that.
I'll play Ride With Me. Is that on the new crit? Because it's not showing.
Nah.
Well, goddamn, nigga, you asked me if I got the new crit.
You said you didn't have it.
I do have it.
Oh, just look right. What you got? Apple Music? What you got, man?
Right now, I'm looking at titles, so I'm going to just go ahead and play this shit and go ahead and do what I need to do.
Because you about to go shit your pants.
No, I'm not, nigga.
You got to hurry up.
Goddamn, man.
You better run, boy. Run, boy.
I ain't got the patience, hey, I got tired of waiting, hey, I'm so educated, stacking on the daily, how the fuck these niggas mad, I'm I made a mess of the word, clocky. I made a safe for the bands, bang. I made a call, this is your balls, I made them pay in advance, hey, I made a chain glow, low. I made the range roll, I made a way, a way, a way that never was made before, more time. I made a bounce,
bounce, bounce.
I made another account,
yeah,
I made another check, the liquor made me forget the amount,
how much?
I made the moves move,
move.
That made me move through. That's how I made it, that's how I played it, I might have made you.
I made
something out of nothing, no discussion, it ain't bustin', I ain't motherfucking making, nigga.
That right.
I made something out of nothing, no discussion, it ain't bustin', I ain't motherfucking making, nigga.
Well, fuck the nigga matter, nigga made it. Most nigga hatin'. I ain't got the patience, hey, I got tired of waiting, hey, I'm so educated, stacking on the daily. How the fuck these niggas mad,
You should have made more.
I made it.
If it ain't made to have a made, it ain't laid though.
That, right.
That what you made back.
What?
Nigga, who made that?
Who?
I've been a made man. Nothing I made whack.
True.
They said they knew I made it.
I made it.
They said they knew I made it.
You did.
So why would I make what they ain't making? They made hate a face.
I see you.
I made face.
All right, that's enough of that shit. oh shit, this nigga Cliff gone. How the hell Cliff gonna leave too? Man, I tell you, this is a rinky dink ass shit we got going on here tonight. But check this out, man. We got another story that we kind of gonna talk about. Oh, there that nigga go. I'm like, this nigga, I'm just looking at bed sheets, nigga. I'm like, where the fuck this nigga go?
I had to blow my nose, man.
I'm like, this nigga done left too. You know, like, look at that shit. No, but there's one more story that I kind of want to talk about, man. And that's the fact that, like, people have been coming at LeBron James sideways lately, man, about his interaction at his son's basketball games, man. He was... they was giving him mostly Jason Whitlock. Let me just gonna put it like that. Nigga like Jason Whitlock was talking about LeBron James being in the layup line, doing dunks at his son's basketball games. His son like finished an alley oop in a basketball game, and he was like on the court, like celebrate, like excited for his son and everything else. And so a lot of people have been coming at LeBron James, and they were talking about him making it about himself. Right. Now, this is an argument that I would level at like somebody like LeVar Ball all the time. So it's surprising to me that people would talk about LeBron in this way, that like, yo, he's making it about himself. His kid can't even have a moment without his daddy kind of upstaging him, so to speak. Had you been privy to any of this information at all? Or have you heard about any of this stuff?
So I follow LeBron on Instagram. I have seen a lot of articles around LeBron's son, and I watch a lot of, when I can, of course, some highlights of his son. And, you know, when you, to try to even do the whole LeVar Ball thing in this scenario does not even, it doesn't count. It doesn't count. Okay. I am not opposed against the support from the dad ever. So even if it's LeBron James getting in the layup line, doing windmills, guess what? Listen, if my dad could have did that with me, I would love it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to throw no salt on anybody else doing something to support their kid. Even if it's jumping up and down yelling when he finished, an alley-oop. So I heard some of it, but every time I hear it, I brush it and I'm like, yo, man, why y'all? They find anything nowadays, man. LeBron, they could have been like, well, LeBron's not supporting his son. He's not jumping up and yelling. Like, no matter what he does, somebody's going to have something to say at this point. You know, and I don't know how quality of a player that LeBron's – it's Lil LeBron, right? Bronny. Yeah. Bron is what they – yeah.
Bronny.
Bronny. So I'm not going to be a player, you know, like – Lonzo Ball, I don't feel like he should be in the NBA, but, you know, I don't know where Bronny is with that. You know what I'm saying? So
Lonzo don't need to be in the league.
He don't need to be in the league, man. I'm sorry. But no, you know what? Support. I am all about support and being there. I don't care what that means. You know, if LeBron was walking on the court, had to stop the game because LeBron was acting crazy. You know, no matter what he's going to do, he's not going to do what everybody wants him to do. So, LeBron, keep doing what you're doing. Bronny, if you catch a noops, you know, do a 360 next time. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. You know, like, if anybody has been listening to this show long enough to know.
I already know where this is going. I wish I could have an effect right now so I can...
If anybody has been watching or listening and watching to this show,
oh god,
y'all know I am the biggest motherfucking LeVar Ball hater. As a matter, I will give myself.
Oh man, hey.
Now the thing is, I think that the hate that I have for LeVar Ball, it's appropriate because LeVar Ball doesn't have the skill. LeVar Ball isn't the star. LeVar Ball is a motherfucking, he runs his goddamn mouth and he wants to be in the spotlight, but it is not necessarily warranted that he's in the spotlight. And it is that reason why I think what's going on between, like, the comparisons between LeVar Ball and LeBron James are vastly different. Because LeBron James is the best basketball player of his generation, bar none. Probably going to finish his career top 2-3 of all time. Right behind Jordan. I believe he's there. I believe he's there where he, like, you could put him in a conversation with him and Mike. I would lean more towards Mike as the GOAT. Like, just keep it 100%. But that doesn't mean that I don't like LeBron James as a basketball player, as a father, as like, the dude can fucking ball out of his mind. Like, he's the best basketball player of his generation, bar none. I see him when he's interacting with his kids, when he's interacting with his, not only his kid, but the other kids on that team seem to like the fact that they got LeBron James hanging around their motherfucking basketball games, yo.
Crazy.
Yo, LeBron James is at my game. Like, I'm playing with his son, but, like, yo, that's LeBron James sitting right there. LeBron James is in my layup line, fam. Like, I'm throwing alley-oops to LeBron James, nigga. Nobody goes to a basketball game like, hey, man, so you think LeVar Ball going to be able to get up there and get that alley-oop? No. Hey, man, hey, can we get LeVar Ball up in this motherfucking layup line? Nobody wants that. Nobody's asking for that.
Is this about LeVar or LeBron?
No. The point that I'm making is this: is that, like, a lot of people were talking about LeBron James as he was an overzealous father, right? And much the same way that we kind of talk about LeVar Ball being too involved in the games or too involved in what was going on with his sons. And again, there's that whole adage of, well, you can't, like, the involved father. Like, a lot of the talk around LeVar Ball was the fact that he's such an involved father. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so if you had any criticism of LeVar Ball, you were therefore talking about black involved fathers. Like, nah, nigga, that ain't it. That ain't it. I just kind of wish he would fall back so his sons can kind of get their shine that they rightfully earned, because they the ones out there that people are really coming to see, not to hear this nigga come run his mouth. There's a difference between him and LeBron James. LeBron James is the legitimate motherfucking basketball great. LeVar Ball never was. Bottom line. And I'm making that demarcation line here that, like, you know, you're not going to be able to compare these two because of their station in the hierarchy of basketball. LeVar Ball is a loudmouth. LeBron James is a basketball great. And that's why these two things will never be the same. That's what I'm saying.
Agreed. Agreed. I mean, I think more of this was about you talking about how bum of a person LeVar Ball.
No, that's not what this was.
I'm joking. I'm joking, man.
Because again, I saw a lot of that shit going on over the course of the week when it came. And then on top of that, to have a coon ass nigga like fucking Jason Whitlock's bitch ass talking about LeBron James taking attention away from his kid. It's like, yo, man, like, people know Bronny because of LeBron. And not only that, I think his teammates also love the fact that LeBron is around the fucking team.
All day.
All day long. I bet you.
But you know what, though? Go ahead. I mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
There are so many NBA basketball players whose sons are hooping, and they be at their games all day. Mm-hmm. CP3, son, balling. I mean, I see so many of these NBA guys with their sons at the games, and they're not talking about nobody but LeBron. Ain't nobody saying Chris Paul be at the game yelling. No. Yo, guess what? It's LeBron. Because he is, I would say, regardless of the probably the top three most recognized person walking the planet right now, LeBron James. He's that dude. So it's just something to talk about. And it's gonna go away as soon as Bronny goes to college, guaranteed.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. But you know what time it is, man. It's time for us to wink.
Yes.
Okay. We'll do it live. Okay. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
What you winging it on tonight, fam?
Everybody knows I love baseball. There is an article, menshealth.com, the highest paid athlete the year you were born. Okay, we talk about money this whole episode outside of LeBron and his son. Mm-hmm. for all the 80s babies, legit 80s babies. I was born in 1980. Nolan Ryan. I love him so much for one particular reason.
Whatever.
I haven't even said anything. You cannot comment. You can't say anything. Loser. Go ahead. You know what the wing means.
Go ahead, man.
I can't even talk. 1980, Nolan Ryan was the highest paid player. It says Nolan Ryan became a $1 million player in 1980 when he joined the Houston Astros. This quadrupled the salary Ryan had been earning as a pitcher for the California Angels. In the years leading up to 1980, Ryan led the American League in strikeouts 7 times, making him an extremely, extremely valuable player. And also most popular for his fight with the Chicago White Sox. 19 years. So, I love Nolan Ryan. Outside of the fact that he has one of the most fantastic beatdowns in baseball history. One on one. And the guy's name was Ace Ventura. Nobody knows. He was a rookie at the time. And Nolan Ryan was thrown at him. And Ace felt himself a little bit. And then he got whooped on the mound. He rushed Nolan Ryan. So, yeah, Nolan Ryan, 1980, highest paid player at the time that year. And Span was born in 1979. And Rod Carew.
The fuck? This nigga older than me,
so I was born. Oh, man, that's hilarious. That's what I'm winging it on. Nolan Ryan, highest paid player. First $1 million player in MLB history. Classic.
All right, so
hold my drink, bitch.
I'm winging it on some more basketball shit. And the reason why I'm winging on some more basketball shit, because I found this story earlier today, man. I thought this was motherfucking hilarious, bro. There was a player by the name of DJ Cooper. DJ Cooper was suspended by the motherfucking FIBA for faking a drug test because they revealed that this nigga was pregnant, yo. Hey, man. Hey.
Yo, for real?
Hey. How you gonna be taking a drug test with the woman? Hey, girl, go ahead, pee in this cup. I'm gonna go ahead. Like, I need this career, baby. I gotta go overseas, man. The NBA ain't calling me. I just need you to pee in this cup. Find out that this nigga is pregnant. So we're going to read this story. We're going to read this story. This comes out of Yahoo. It says DJ Cooper stepped away from AS Monaco late in 2018 for family reasons, though attempted to join the Bosnian national team as a naturalized player later that year. The former Ohio standout never made it, however, and was instead handed a 2-year suspension from FIBA for failing a drug test. But it wasn't performance-enhancing drugs, recreational drugs, or any other unusual suspects that thwarted Cooper. His drug test, according to the Eurohoops.net, revealed that he was pregnant. The test on the urine that Cooper provided revealed the presence of a human chorionic gonadotropin, or HCG, which is a hormone made by the placenta during pregnancy. That urine, per the report, actually belonged to his girlfriend, who likely didn't know she was pregnant at the time. So FIBA suspended Cooper for fraud. He's eligible for return on June 20th, 2020. This nigga done lost 2 years of his goddamn career because he ain't want to take a goddamn drug test. And in the meantime, found out his old lady was pregnant. That's funny as shit to me, man. That's funny as shit. Hey, man, I don't know if it was, maybe he was smoking weed and maybe he thought they suspended him for the weed or something. I don't know. I know we are having more liberalized laws when it comes to weed in the United States and everything else. And we are partaking more and more. I mean, you got the CBD oils and whatnot. Everybody is a CBD expert now. You know what I'm saying? But, yo, man, DJ Cooper, I'm winging it on your ass, your stupid ass, for using your girlfriend's pee to go do the drug test for the FIBA, and you done lost 2 years of your goddamn career, man. Real talk. DJ Cooper. We don't have ass hats on the show, but man, if it was ass hat for the beer and chicken, you would be it, my nigga. You would be it. But yo, before we get out of here, man, we did have some listener feedback that I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show, and we had poll results from the last show that we did when we were talking about the ads being placed on Major League Baseball jerseys, basically jerseys, period. And I got the poll results here, and it's whether or not you as fans care about ads or company logos being placed on the jerseys. And let's just say that it was closer than I thought it would be. So 13% of y'all were just like, hey man, try to get your own logo on somebody's jersey, right? 13% of people want the beer and chicken logo on somebody's jersey. I'm real talk. Thank y'all. Y'all the real MVPs, man. Y'all really fuck with us over here. But 40% of the people that listen to the Beer and Chicken podcast believe that, yo, that shit is tacky. Like they shouldn't be putting these logos and these company advertisements on the jersey. They think the shit's tacky. But the majority of the listeners of the Beer and Chica podcast don't really give a fuck, man. 46.6% of y'all were like, nah, they fade in the background after a while. You don't even notice them. So, yeah, man, that's what the people have spoken. I am in the minority on this one. I still feel like that shit tacky, man. It was kind of close, 46 to 40%. Yeah, it's kind of close, but still, man. Hey, man, y'all ones that were talking about, although I said y'all was fucking with us over here at the Beer and Chicken. Y'all kind of like the Jill Stein voters. You know what I'm saying? Y'all fucked it. Y'all threw the numbers off. You know what I'm saying? Y'all threw the numbers off. Talking about some, yeah, man, try to get the Beer and Chicken logo on somebody's jersey. Y'all know goddamn well ain't no major league team going to put the Beer and Chicken shit on it. Well, maybe. You know, if we doing this for 20 years and we like successfully got radio sponsors and all sorts of shit, I doubt we get all of that shit, man. But maybe. But it's time for us to get on up out of here, man. Gotta go. And I didn't tell y'all how to get in touch with us at the beginning of the show. So I'm going to tell y'all now how to get in touch with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast. Man, let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, we'll replay the messages here on the show and respond in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@thebeerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Leave us those emails. And, of course, those emails will get read here live on the show as well. Follow me on Twitter. My name is Mr_Span on Twitter. And the homeboy DJ Neff is DJ Neff 2 on these Twitter streets, man. So go ahead and follow the both of us over there. Chop it up with us throughout the week. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Those 5-star reviews are one way to put down for the show. It doesn't cost you a dime. Just 2 minutes of your time to tell everybody why you fucking with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. Real talk. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. You can also go to our store at www.beerandchickenpod.com and hit the go to store tab, and boom, it'll take you to where all of our shit is at. Like all of the t-shirts and all of the coffee mugs and everything else, man. You can go there, get yourself some merch, man, some Beer and Chicken Podcast merch, man. We really do appreciate everybody who does that. Donate to the show, man, as often as you like, as much as you like. And we do appreciate those monies. Shout out to our Patreon patrons, man. The Patreon patrons are what allow us for us to do the live shows here on Crowdcast, man. So we really, really, really do appreciate those folks who go above and beyond, man, and they do this on a monthly basis, man. So we really do appreciate everybody who donates to the Patreon to our Patreon campaign. And for all of your Beer and Chicken Podcast needs, man, go to www.beerandchickenpod.com. You can go there, watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls. You can leave comments there. Everything pretty much is available over at the website. So that's what we're doing. And like I said, programming note, we will be off next Sunday because, you know, like I said, your man Span will be on vacation next Sunday. So that's what it is. And we will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace.
Holla back, mate.
All right, now. Nah.